Hello. There.
We're here. Lorraine pushed the button.
Because you wouldn't do it.
Welcome to the Cubicorn Games podcast.
I'm taking the means of production.
That's right. Proletariat will rise up and push the button.
That's what they've called me.
My name is Dustin Morbido. Joining me today, talk about maybe video games. I don't know. It's been a weird couple weeks.
It's true.
Lorraine Morbido is here.
Wow.
You sound excited.
I don't know.
I'll take it. I'm ready. It's been a bit.
It has been a bit.
It's been too long. But life kept happening.
A little bit. And it's gonna keep happening.
I'll tell you.
Ain't no rest for the wicked.
Life keeps happening to. Joining us via the internet, Kyle McGrath is here.
Maybe not. Kyle, are you okay?
I can't tell if it's a bit or if he's not online anymore. Oh, no! It's not. I don't think it's working. I think Discord actually fucked up. All right, well, we're going to save this, but I am going to pause it. I'm going to keep that intro alive. So we'll be back instantly, as far as you know.
Dustin's the worst.
I pushed the wrong button of the buttons. I'm used to pushing the other button. We're back. We made it. Kyle McGrath is, in fact, here.
I said so many witty, clever things.
And they're
I'm
all
so
lost
sad.
To the ages.
So
we'll never
lost
know.
Lost it either.
Well.
Nah, but I'm just kidding. I don't think I said anything. I was going to go see how long I could push that for, but maybe next time.
Yep. I just thought you were like really committed to the like, oh, he's really going for it.
I'm not above that.
I know you're not.
And then I looked over at the thing and like you were lighting up in the Discord chat, but no sound was coming out. I was like, that's probably not working correctly. It's right. Fine. We're here now. We're talking. What's up, Lorraine?
I had so many files to convert now.
I'm free. Free!
Oh, no! You've gone done it! You released
You should have left
Kyle.
Me buried in that casket on the moon.
Oh, man.
Kyle, on my moon, it's more common than you think.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, video games.
Local moon singles in your area.
Lunar singles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
I bet dating on the moon would be complicated. Like,
no air.
Well, you know,
let's
that.
Say you solve like the general basic needs problems. Even that.
Hard to go to the batting cages or go bowling on like whatever it is, 1/8 Earth's gravity or whatever.
But the ball just goes.
Would be awesome.
Yeah.
Hit a ball a mile away. Look
That's
how
right.
strong I am. Marry me.
I mean, I'm assuming if you were playing any kind of ball on the moon, you would probably have to be like tetherball just for practicality's sake. Like, we can't waste all this fuel bringing up hundreds and hundreds of baseballs that are just going to fly off into the ether onto the moon.
Watch me.
We need to reclaim those things.
Watch me.
Who is the one that stuck a golf club and a golf ball onto the moon somehow?
Oh gosh, I don't remember, but I know
it was
right
me.
One of those Apollo astronauts.
It was
somebody
me.
Like did the math. You know, you cost NASA $800,000 with your stuff or whatever.
It was me.
I think people have snuck food in. Like, I'm pretty sure people have like snuck sandwiches and stuff just like in their suits. So, you know,
padding.
That pastrami on rye, right, was about, you know, $48,000 in taxpayer money.
Alan Shepard.
Okay.
I'm sure we were all curious.
I always am.
Yeah, man. I'm all about, those are like the first space pirates, basically. Smuggling illicit products.
Shepard recalled, the ball seemed to travel for, quote, miles and miles and miles.
I hope that someday we find that stuff. Like, I hope when human beings make it back to the moon, like, there are bits
in lunar archaeology.
Right. There's, like, ephemera left from those journeys from the 60s that gather up and bring to a museum at some point. I'd be all about that. The moon's pretty cool. I'm pro-moon.
Yeah, that first flag is probably, you know, buried under
right.
2 feet of dust.
Yeah, and I like the, like, it's the moon. It doesn't have, like, weather. But stuff hits it all the time.
Yeah,
so
guess what? Asteroids.
Right. So I don't actually know what the likelihood is that any of that stuff is like findable or salvageable.
My understanding is anything at like the landing sites got messed up when they went back to the the spaceship.
Yeah.
But, like Neil Armstrong's footprint, that lasted about a day.
Right, exactly. I'm all about the moon. did you see hear that, God, what's his name? The Virgin guy. One of the, like, you know, seven billionaires who...
No.
I had to parse Richard that Branson, phrase a little bit differently. Yeah, Richard Branson.
He's already got his, like, weird, like, Virgin Space thing where they take people into, like, low Earth orbit or whatever. Yeah. But apparently he's building, like, a spaceport for that in, I forget, some place where wealthy people can go to spend an exorbitant amount of money to go to space for fun.
Fantastic.
But the words spaceport were used unironically in, like, the headline I saw about that venture. So that's pretty good.
Like, that's worth it.
Yeah, I'm all about that. I don't even care. I don't need to go, like, I don't care if I actually end up in space. I hope one day to go to a spaceport. Like, I want to drive my grandson to the spaceport to, like, see him off to his Mars job. It's like, I'm proud of you, boy. Go dig for that. Right. Yep.
Unobtainium.
Go mine that moisture on the red planet so that humanity can break the coils of this doomed planet, which we have fucked up.
3 years before global warming kills us all, so get to work.
No pressure.
Nope.
Oh, anyway.
Hurricanes are the size of continents now.
Yay! Yeah.
I'm very glad. This isn't like a slight, it's just a comment.
I love where this is going.
It's just a comment on the weather on average, but every time July rolls around, I'm never more happy to not live in, let's say, Arizona.
Yeah.
Just like
literally anywhere.
Yeah,
like,
looking at the southwest. 115. Cool.
Actually, no.
Yeah.
My understanding it is, as you'd expect, it's just, you know, you bunker down like you would in a bad winter. You just never leave the house unless you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Crank the AC up literally as high as it can go and pray it doesn't break.
I am always, no matter where I am pro-basement. So I don't know if they have basements in Arizona, but if they do, I want the deepest, darkest basement you can dig me. I'm just going to live in a hole
even
until
more
it's
sense
September.
To have Arizona basement.
That girl was cooler than an Arizona basement.
We're just popping phrases right into the lexicon here.
Hell
that's right.
Yeah.
Although Arizona basements,
you're
gonna
hear
like,
first.
Lorraine, if you're freaked out by centipedes, I bet Arizona basements are filthy with like scorpions and whatever kind of weird hairy spiders live in the desert.
Scorpions and like those spiders are bigger. Which means they're easier
better?
To see.
But scorpions are armed. Like, a centipede is just a centipede. A scorpion is like,
I can drop a book on a scorpion.
I am not cool with bugs that I can see from across the room. That's just
I can see
not
centipedes from across the room, and then they die.
Well, yeah.
I got to
any
the
bug that forces me to have to get up and kill is an unpleasant experience.
It's every bug, and they always die.
Mm-hmm.
I end them.
When I was a kid, and our computer area was like in the basement, I got to the point where, like, you know, every once in a while, you just like see a centipede skitter across the wall, and I basically just let them be.
No,
like,
that's when you leave and burn the house down.
Look, I can either like spend like I can either get up and spend 15 minutes like tracking and killing this thing, or I can just, you know.
That just tells me even more that you're a coward.
Keep
fight your foes.
Keep googling around for like
googling
real player videos. Yeah, all right, fair enough. Not whatever.
Yahoo.
Yeah. Alta Vista-ing
keywords.
On like IGN for
a different dead server.
Right, for like 30-second real player files of Smash Brothers 1 footage, and just being like, "Whoa, look at that shit!
Mario's
punching Pikachu in the throat. Oh God." Those were the
sit
days.
Here all afternoon to download a from Trunks turning Super Saiyan.
Yeah, man, I absolutely remember, like, all right, in 30 minutes, I'm going to come back, and there is going to be approximately, like, 48 seconds of gameplay footage of, like, a PlayStation 1 game waiting for me when I do.
And it was freaking awesome.
Yeah, it was so good.
I vividly remember watching Japanese trailers for Pokemon movies, specifically, like, the Gen 3 ones, with one of my friends on, like, postage stamp sized like video
right.
players like because she well so she had
hilarious
she
though.
Didn't have dial up what we did so her internet was just better than ours like she was probably the first one I really hung out with who
early
had
DSL.
Like yeah I think they had like maybe like a Comcast or something but we
sure.
just had super
better,
shitty internet
right better
and
than
they also
phone.
Had an XP machine whereas we were still at like the 2000 or 95 Windows
or
whatever
yeah.
so her computer was always better than ours.
I mean, that's
she
fine.
She had the good stuff.
You always got to have that one friend that shows you how it's done.
Oh, she showed me how it's done, let me tell you. She had all the stuff.
My good computer friends at the time had both Wolfenstein and various versions of You Don't Know Jack. That's what we did on their computer that was better than ours. We had Number Muncher, though. That was pretty dope.
Number Muncher. I'm trying to remember if I've ever heard of that.
I played that in elementary school.
Mm-hmm. Gotta learn your multiplication tables. But that was another.
That was only on, like, fun days. The rest of the time, we were just typing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, math literally just typing. Did they give you, like, what were you typing?
I don't know.
Mavis Beacon's typing.
Yeah, it wasn't even Mavis Beacon, though. It was something much worse than that.
A knockoff.
No, it wasn't, like, fun at all. It was, like, it wasn't edutainment. It was educational.
Oh, I just didn't know, like, was it, like, write us something? Or was it, like, here's, remember. Like, you know.
I don't remember. I honestly don't.
Gettysburg Address.
The one thing
type
I
it.
Know, the one thing I do remember is that we always typed up the same report every single fucking year. And it was the it might have been on the Declaration of Independence, but it was the same thing for, like, 3 or 4 years. Like, it might have been either, it was either third or fourth through, like, sixth grade. Because once I got into middle, or it might have been third, fourth, and fifth grade. Mm-hmm. So I think in middle school, we started going over to the high school and used their computer lab, which had different, because we were in middle school at that point.
Is that a phone call or a text message of some kind?
No, what? I had to look up this old video game. I didn't think it was going to make the sound.
Okay, no, that was worth it. I'm just happy that that happened. That was very good.
That was great.
What game is that noise from? I have to know.
Treasure Mountain from the 1990s.
Oh, hell yeah! I played that.
I don't remember.
I had to remember the name of this game.
Yeah, I'll show you later. You might have played it at some point. I definitely remember playing Treasure Mountain. It is another, like, edutainment, like,
ones,
learning company joint.
The ones we played at home were, I think his was Reading Rabbit.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's
they
one of
those. They came with, like, workbooks.
Slightly younger, like Treasure Mountain was for, like older, like, grade school kids.
God, I looked this up one time before. I wish I could remember what it was. But there was this other series that had, like, it was about these, like group of kids or whatever. And you went through and, like, we had, like, maybe three different, like, installments of this series. And it was, like, pseudo, like, there were parts of it that were, like, randomized between playthroughs. So you'd get to the same end result, but you'd do, like, slightly different things. Like, oh, you'd go, like, here and do this puzzle, but then not do this one. Mm-hmm. But you'd do that one in a different one. They were a lot of fun. There was, like, you were in the Amazon, and you were, like, in Egypt, and maybe in, like, a submarine in one of them.
I know we talk about this a lot, and maybe even on the podcast before, we can do it anyway, but the greatest memory of just a crappy video computer game, PC game, it's got to be Chex Quest.
Chex Quest
we did
so
have
good.
That. I do remember playing Chex Quest mm-hmm. and hating all those green aliens.
Yeah, I don't mind bringing any Chex
terrifying.
Quest up anytime.
They're terrifying.
The notion that you can get a fully fledged computer game in a box of cereal and enjoying it just blows my mind.
Yeah, a pretty good one. Like, Chex Quest is a pretty good version of Doom.
Good Doom mod.
Yeah. Like, Chex Quest is well worth the $0 it cost you to pull it out of the cereal box.
Also,
like,
Chex is good. Uh-huh. I'm very pro Chex cereal. I have
sugar.
I used to be a lot more into Rice Chex, but now I'm, like, hella into Corn Chex.
We only ever had Corn Chex. I didn't even know there were other kinds
we
of Chex.
We really only had rice for the longest time, but then my mom got corn a few times, and now I, like, only get Corn Chex. I fucking love them. They're so...
Either look up,
there's
either
like,
look up Chex Quest or play it yourself if you get a chance. It's well, like, worth the half hour.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's like, readily
everywhere.
Available in a browser window, probably.
You can like, download the, like, 2 kilobytes that is that game and play it on anything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Chex Quest was great, and I didn't have no idea like
Pepsi Man and you know marketed
whenever I received it, I had no idea what it even was at the time, and then it was just like take this disc and put it in your computer, and I did. And
I vividly,
was like, oh shit, it's
I vividly
like Wolfenstein,
remember playing
but with cereal
it upstairs when we had our computer like upstairs on the mm-hmm. second floor before it got moved into the basement. I vividly remember playing that game there, as well as a handful of like Barbie games.
Barbie's Horse Adventure of the...
We did have that.
That's not a computer game, I don't think.
No, there's a Barbie horse game. Mm-hmm. There's also, like,
I'm
a
sure
pet
there
one.
Is.
And, like, a detective
Were
one.
Were all those games, like, just, like, the Barbie dolls? Like, Barbie has a job, and her job is X?
Kind of.
Like, she's a vet, and you're taking care of animals, or she's a...
More or less.
Jockey, and you're horsing about...
I mean, the horse exploration was kind of fun. Like, it was just, like, an almost open-worldy, like, first-person horse-riding nonsense. Like, mm-hmm. it was fine. It looked fine, like, because it's got that kind of, like... It wasn't, like, obviously super realist, because it was, like... It was actually, like, it looked like the Barbie doll, so everything was kind of, like, toy-skewed. Mm-hmm. So it probably still, like, holds up-ish.
Look, man, I played all kinds of, like, questionable or boring shit on personal computers at the time. I spent more time than I'm willing to admit, like, printing out fun greeting cards in the Pokemon version of Print Shop they
made. Man, that shit was
They put out two! They put out a red and a blue version of Print Shop that had Pokemon built into it.
That shit was dope!
What
an
age.
That garbage.
What an age the 90s were.
Let me tell you about those horrible, like, GameCube-sized discs that were cut that were Pokemon. I played a lot of those. We had quite a few of those.
That box in the other room over there that I have, like, old computer game stuff in, I'm pretty sure I have one or both of those Pokemon Shop versions in there somewhere.
Kid picks. We played a lot of kid picks.
If you want to spool up an old...
That's some good... That's some, like, really, like, basic-ass, like, photo creation, like, Photoshop for, like, hella infants in the 90s.
Than MS Paint, I assume.
Spool up but no, like, layers or anything. It was just, like, do this shit.
Crusty old dot matrix printer and find all that paper stock with the edges with the holes in it.
I wonder how much of an effort you'd have to go to get, you know, a box of the hold paper to run through a dot matrix printer these
days. Yeah, honestly, my hope would be, and I'd have to look into it to confirm this, my hope would be that people have, like, similar to some old video games, done, like, the emulation work for that software to be like, here's, like, USB drivers that let you use Print Shop and interface with, like, a computer or, like, a printer that you would use now.
Like a mechanical keyboard, but a printer.
Yeah, exactly.
My favorite part about dot matrix paper is that it's just all connected. Like, it's just a giant...
The giant ream of just, like, it's just that's one contiguous thing.
Toilet paper.
That's the greatest.
I mean, it worked out perfectly for those banners that you'd make in Print Shop. Where, like, it just comes out and it's done.
We've lost that technology. Sticking paper together.
Use our hands now.
Like just sound like a baby's toy.
An e-card.
Well, yeah. Now it's like you don't even need the printer for most things. Send it to your phone and be done.
Yep. I wonder. I kind of like. There's at least part of me that hopes that the pushes in AR technology get to that point where like. I'm going to invite all my friends over for this birthday party and then put on your glasses, everybody. And then you just see like digital decorations that are placed in my home, like physically, but do not actually exist.
Iron Man crap up in here.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how much that would save for actually hanging decorations. Cause like fuck decorations, but like decorations are dope.
Party City would go straight out of business.
I mean, I think we'll all be better off for it, honestly.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. More or less worthless garbage created to go straight into a dumpster.
Did you see the video? Speaking of, let's talk about one like tangentially video game related thing at least. They put out a Niantic, the Pokemon Go people, the Ingress folks. They recently open sourced some of their libraries that they've built that interface with like the AR technology, basically like the Apple, like the iPhone AR kit stuff. And they put out a video with that of like a demo game they made where it's like a first person shooter with inside your phone. So like you hold up your phone and you like point it around room, and if other people are logged into the game and they're in proximity to you, when you point your phone at other people who are playing, it like shows data over them.
Oh god.
Just like their health and shit, and then you just like tap the screen to shoot them while pointing your phone at them while you're just all like standing in an open room, just like circling around each other.
Great.
It looked cool and totally dumb.
Wasn't there like a Yu-Gi-Oh app to do sort of the same function, or you see somebody across the street and then like, okay, we're dueling now?
I at least remember that in the trailer. I don't know if there was an AR element to it, but
yeah,
I don't think there was that Yu-Gi-Oh came out. I think at least like the intent was to like encounter someone on the street and maybe battle with your Yu-Gi-Oh cards with them or whatever.
As you do.
Everybody plays Yu-Gi-Oh is my understanding.
Yep. That game was shitty. I played it for like 4 hours. It was bad. I mean, it was, all right, here's the most damning thing I can say about it is that it was worse than card Yu-Gi-Oh. Like, that's what was wrong with it. Because it was just like, the game was fundamentally the same, but everybody had like half as much health, because I guess they didn't want the games to last as long.
Oh, okay.
But without really changing any of the cards, because it was still like, all right, here's a Blue Eyes White Dragon. It's still the same card, except it'll just like kill you in one hit.
Blap.
Anyway.
Well, that'll make it fast.
And that's true. You can be done playing Yu-Gi-Oh more quickly.
Yeah, that stuff's pretty good.
The other thing...
I watched a slightly unsettling amount of the Pokemon card game nationals over the weekend. And
I should have. As soon as you brought it up, I was like, I should have watched that. Maybe I'll go look at the archive and at least treat myself to like an hour or so of that.
Want me to spoil it for you?
I don't care about like. I just want to see it to see it.
I watched three games and I only saw one different deck.
Great.
So, I mean, that's like
Pokemon's bad as a competitive card game.
Yeah,
sorry.
And it's weird that like. They must just not care.
I don't think
they
must
just be fine with that being the environment, because it's not like the people who make
they're not
that
balancing
game,
the game.
It's
not
like
trying.
They don't have it. Like it's not like they don't get the score.
Like, they know how much garbage that is cards they make, though. Like half of like a set,
right.
More than half of a set is basically trying. Useless.
Yeah, that game could use a full scale like
overhaul.
Yeah, like that game. That game deserves to be balanced such that like in a more ideal version of that product. There would be, like, inherent gameplay trade-offs to, like, oh, you can build a deck of all the little tiny unevolved guys, and that'll do something. Or you can build a deck
I'm
of
sure
the big hitters,
that
and
numbers,
that'll do something different.
You know, returns are such that they know they don't need to do jack.
Oh, yeah, they don't.
Sure. But, I mean, right, and that's, like, the... Yeah, the argument from a product
they
standpoint
had to
is
since
that...
like, day one, basically.
If it's selling fine, why spend more money to, like, you know...
If it ain't
why waste
broke,
the,
don't
yeah,
fix it.
Why waste the engineering efforts, let's call it.
Fun engineering.
Right. If it's if the product is moving, just let it move. Just make sure it comes out every 4 months and it'll be fine.
Maybe this is just my own American biases, but it just feels like Japanese card games in particular, they don't care so much about balance.
Yeah, it's weird.
I mean,
and
maybe.
I wonder what that is. Like, I wonder if it's just...
Why is that?
There is kind of... obviously, there's still some of it here. Maybe there's just a more inherently, like brand loyalty, just collect all the stuff and never question it, just like keep going, like
because
I mean
just
like they
like
get
a...
like some people there get like super like they have a fairly obsessive just like cultural personality sort of in a way, like when trends hit they hit hard in Japan. And I think that's just them kind of, I think that's just like the mental mentality. Wow, that made sense. Of their country. Cultural mentality is, I think, is a better way to put it. Like, they're all in all the time, but they, like, flit to the stuff very quickly.
I could believe that there's at least some element of, as this product comes out and is very lightly iterated on, the fact that it doesn't change much,
helps.
Is a feature, not a defect from the Japanese, like,
this isn't
consumer
like,
standpoint.
This isn't like a Pokemon TCG 2. This is a Pokemon TCG 1.4597.
Yeah.
Like, this is a patch, not a full-on update.
Mm-hmm.
This is just like...
I think most people who play those kinds of games in the West would be on like a similar page to me and Kyle, especially if you've played them for a while, is that like... Just for the sake of keeping things a little fresh, why would you want there to be like only one or two decks?
Yeah.
And then go to an event and play the same game, you know, seven or eight times over 8 or 9 hours. But I can...
But so many people do.
Yeah, but I can understand, like, I guess I can technically understand why if your sensibilities were just different, that, like, you would be fine with the opposite as just like a... All right, well, I guess it's almost more like chess at that point. Like, we both have the exact same, you know, stack of 60 cards.
It's time to outplay the other.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is
there's
fine,
some amount of merit
but,
to that,
like,
yeah.
Why is it a collectible card game at that point? Mm. Like
money.
Yeah,
money.
Yeah.
Money. Accurate.
I'm more along the lines of, why are you playing that then? Like, why are you sinking so much of your time and effort into that?
Sure. Well, the other part where that falls apart for card games is that your resources are not the same at any given point in the game. Like, in the chessboard, you all start with, you know, the same pieces in the same setup. And in the card game, if you're running the same deck, maybe player one
your hand,
draws amazing cards the first three turns and player two doesn't. So that's where I think, at least if you care... About,
I mean, then it's just like chess
balance.
With gambling,
yeah.
Like, which
I think
little variance to it,
yeah.
Yeah, I think injecting more weight into the like the
anything,
deck building
yeah.
side of things for trading card games is probably a good thing, but it is what it is. But like you said, as long as it sells well,
they don't care,
yeah, right. They'll be just fine.
We might be more of a minority than we realize here.
I mean, honestly, I think
a lot of people don't want to build decks, they just want to play decks.
It's also kind of like, if you think about it, kind of the same with, like, just video games and games as a whole. Like, being challenged isn't necessarily something that, like, 90% of, like, players maybe want to do. Like,
well, sure.
They don't want to do the legwork. They just want, like...
Mm-hmm. I mean, right. And all that, entertainment, honestly. Because, there's that element to the Star Wars thing of, like... With The Last Jedi specifically, part of it is, like, the Splinter faction of, you know... excuse me. Truly butthurt men of varying ages just being belligerent. But part of it is just, like, people who are, like... casual-ish about Star Wars, mm-hmm. but, like, every time they want to they show up to a Star Wars, they want it to be just like the other Star Wars.
Right.
Like changing the Star Wars is problematic for people who just want the thing that they already mm-hmm. have. Mm.
That's why 90% of movies are, you know, a sequel, a spin-off, or a reboot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, well, like you said, it's kind of the same with every other medium too.
Yeah, I mean, people games, are lazy and books. the money is where people know what they're getting.
Exactly.
Yeah, the thing about that I never quite get, although, you know, I guess it's just if you don't bother to try to seek stuff out, then that's the way you'll be anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the thing you like is still there.
No, it's not.
Like, if you like,
they're ruining it.
If you like that first Ghostbusters movie, like, you can watch it anytime you want. Like, it's...
But the 2016 one is a lot of fun. I like that movie a lot.
I still haven't seen it. Maybe I should.
It's a fun time.
It's worth watching. Yes. Like, it is not. It's not as good as the original movie.
No.
But it's good enough.
It's fun. Like, you'll have a fun time watching it.
It is not like it's 3.5 ish out of 5. Like, it's good, not amazing, definitely not terrible,
but,
like, it's not some fucking monstrosity or whatever, but it's totally adequate.
All those
ladies
are great, like,
Ghostbusters.
It's better than,
Ghostbusters 2?
Maybe, but I was gonna say it's better in its franchise than, like, Jurassic World is to Jurassic Park.
Sure, yes, I can get behind that.
It is a better
statement.
Ghostbusters movie than Jurassic World is a Jurassic Park movie.
Sure.
And since those are two things that are...
Like, a better, like, updated... like entry into that franchise or whatever, because like probably it's a slightly longer, like, just based on like when the original movies came out, like when like gap in between, but they came out around the same time.
Yeah, but again, that was the same exact thing, right? That, like, to the letter of, like, oh, there are women, and oh, you changed it. I'm like, Ghostbusters is still, look, man, you go get your Blu-ray, your DVD, your VHS tape. You can watch Ghostbusters anytime you want. You can watch Ghostbusters every minute of every day if you want to. Like, it's still there.
I'm not sure if I'd like it after a while, but I could.
Like, that's the part.
The worst things you could do with your entire
life. There are worse things you could do.
The more justified, let's say, irritating Star Wars fandom outrage was, I think, everybody who cried foul when Lucas was actively changing those original movies.
Yeah.
Because that's the point where, like, okay, you are actually literally taking the thing that I did like, and, like, you're making it worse.
Mm-hmm.
So
you still can't get the originals to this day.
Yeah, I have the...
DVDs.
Yeah, I had to get... There was one point where... So I have shitty DVD versions that were technically officially released of the original trilogy, because it was, like, in the mid-2000s. They put out a version of those movies on DVD... that, like, was a two-disc thing, where the main disc was the special editions that they put out in the 90s with all the changes, and then, like, a secondary bonus disc was the actual,
original,
like, unmodified
cuts.
Original movies, but they were, like, rips of, like, a Laserdisc version, and they're in 4x3, so they're shitty in their own right, but they are at least, like,
the original.
Unchanged, like, for the most part. They don't have all the extra shit in them.
Used as the source behind most of the fixes when the guy
when people put out, like, cool YouTube cuts and stuff like that.
Which is awesome if you really want to get into, you know, some deep internet Star Wars crap. The despecialized editions of Star Wars, where it's just basically as close to the originals as possible.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Those projects are cool. That's a good way to, as opposed to, you know, shouting down celebrities until they leave Twitter. Go make fun fan projects instead. Like, it's a better use of everyone's time.
Make stuff. Don't burn shit.
I mean, I'm sure it would be cease and desisted real quick anyway if they could.
Oh, Oh, yeah. Especially with Disney now. Absolutely.
Be careful with that. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sell it.
Don't put your name on it.
Especially
don't sell it.
Yeah, exactly. Just put it out there in the ether anonymously and
get a burner email.
Let other people distribute it for you.
And then
fake name.
Blendin'.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, man. Even if people make versions of the thing that change the thing you like. Unless they're the old Star Wars movies, yeah. The thing you like is
unless
still around.
Unless they're like actively retconning and erasing the other thing.
Yeah, like, go listen to that album, go watch that movie, go, you know, read that book, whatever.
Play that game,
play
whatever.
That game, yeah.
And I imagine a lot of it is expectations. Like you,
oh, yeah.
Especially after episode 7, you're just expecting the something same. Very warm and familiar. And then it lets you down because it wasn't what you thought it would be.
Yeah, I get it. I'm just a little disappointed still by people's,
I mean, yes,
like...
you should be disappointed
I mean,
in
I'm
the people
always
that
disappointed
are
in people.
Physically upset over this.
Yeah.
People are disappointing.
Like, even, right, people especially, yeah, more disappointed that people couldn't just, like, shrug their shoulders and mm-hmm. be like, eh, you know, and move on to the next thing or whatever.
There are so many YouTube videos about how Star Wars is ruined forever because of women.
Oh, boy.
Great.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I know. The other thing about that is still that, like, oh man, it's such a cocktail of weird, like, messed up shit, because there's that angle to it. There's the fact that, like, if you, like, basically actively clamoring for Star Wars to that extent one way or another is ultimately kind of, like, a fraught effort to begin with, because at the end of the day, it's just an engine for the Walt Disney Corporation to squeeze more money out of you. So, like, from even just that perspective, I would be like, look, if you want to like Star Wars, that's fine. Even if you want to love Star Wars, I'm okay with that. But, like, just remember that it's just a company that wants the most funds they can get from you. Like, they're not, Walt Disney Corporation maybe doesn't have your best interest at heart one way or another.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So it's worth, you know, trying to keep in mind as you're... going nuts on the internet or whatever, but
right.
I'm gonna go nuts on the internet in every way humanly possible.
Anyway, yeah, and the weird, like all the think pieces about like what was up with Solo and how shitty it did at the box office or whatever.
It was a bad movie.
No, it wasn't even like that. Was fine. That was like right in the like it was absolutely adequate. Like you could watch it once and be satisfied with it and never watch it again.
I wasn't satisfied with any of it. I did not enjoy
it. It didn't offend me in any way.
No, it wasn't that it was a Star Wars movie. I hated it as a movie. Like,
okay. Like, it was very frivolous, is what I would call it. But it wasn't like...
There was nothing in that movie.
I wasn't like clawing at my chair, like begging to get out of the theater during its runtime. It was like, I saw it play out, and then it ended, and that was fine.
I was happy.
Went home and forgot it happened.
Yeah. But I mean, that movie is a perfect... Like for everybody who's got their own hot take on... You know, where they think Star Wars is at right now, but I think it's like a literal perfect storm of every single thing about Star Wars. It's the people who are butthurt about The Last Jedi. It's the fact that those movies were like 6 months apart.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that Marvel's still doing well and like Deadpool was performing way above average when it came out. And it's the fact that there is still just like legit Star Wars fatigue because Disney will not let us escape Star Wars, which is still mostly where I'm at. Like,
get me out, free me. End my suffering.
Like, I still want to watch the next, like, the third one, like, mm-hmm. episode 9 or whatever. I'm all about that, but,
we'll see what happens after that.
Yeah, and it was the, and I would have been, we already had that conversation when we were talking about that movie, on here, mm-hmm. but if Last Jedi had disappointed me personally, in the way that it disappointed other people, like, I would have been mostly checked out at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would have probably still seen episode 9, because, you know, sure, show up, why not? But I wouldn't have necessarily been excited about it.
Yeah.
I'd been like, all right, another Star Wars, sure.
I mean, I'm probably generally lukewarm about it. Like, I didn't hate The Last Jedi. It was fine.
I liked it.
But I'm not, like...
The flaws are obvious, but...
Yeah. I'm not, like, chomping at the bit for more Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just kind of like, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
Oh, sirens.
Uh-oh.
Something's going on.
I can't do anything about that.
No, that's fine.
Sorry.
Kyle's getting shut down.
As
they
long as you're not...
It's Disney!
About the illegal Star Wars right. mod.
It's not Disney! Coming
as long as you're not actively robbing a bank right now,
or
I'll let
fire.
It slide.
That'd be really impressive.
That would be really impressive. That's why he wasn't speaking earlier.
If you're curious about the direction episode 9 might go, there was a news today that Lando is going to be in episode 9.
I
great.
Saw that.
Oh, boy!
Fantastic.
Sure. I wish
there's one more character that hasn't been killed yet.
Mm-hmm.
End them.
Oh boy. I kind of
hope
they'd...
he just dies in the first 5 minutes of that movie.
That'd be pretty funny.
Like he's a Loki. Like
sure.
Just... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bye <Bye-bye>.
Bye. He's like piloting some ship out of like a firefight, and he just like yells back to a chair that's turned backwards. That's like, I think we're gonna make it. And then it explodes.
Wow.
Oh my god.
That's right. You're mad at Ryan Johnson. Give me the screenwriting ability. I'll fuck your child up good.
I gotta imagine that Leia will be killed off screen in between movies.
Sure.
That or she's like moved to a secure location. Like,
yeah.
We're keeping her safe now because everybody else is fucking dead. And then she could still die, but who knows?
We'll see what happens with that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, she's Superman through space, so who knows what it'll take to actually kill her.
Just have her force project herself a galaxy away, and then she'll die.
Hooray! Just like her brother.
It's in the family blood.
Indeed.
Grand.
Anyway.
Movies are cool.
Movies are cool. You know what else is cool? Video games.
Sure.
I was going to say cereal, but...
Yes!
Oh, cereal is very cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so pro-cereal.
And video game cereal, which we already...
Right. I mean, we've crossed that bridge already. There needs to be more cereal-based video games.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Lorraine, since it's been a couple weeks, I'm still all about freewheeling it, because I'm just glad we're having a conversation, but... If you have any video games, I will take them, because I haven't played much, so I'm not going to have a ton to offer you.
The main thing I've been playing, like, since I mentioned it briefly during the E3 podcast, because I think it had, like, just come out or something, I don't even remember. Everything's a blur, I was playing Sushi Striker on my 3DS.
Oh, that's right. I don't think we have talked about it necessarily. Maybe, like, very briefly, yeah.
So it's, like, a puzzle game. Like, it's out on the 3DS and the Wii, the Switch.
The Wii U.
No, it's not.
It's not in form, but in function. It's like a Puyo Puyo or a Tetris Attacker. It's like a 1v1 puzzle game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're basically like, you've got these like three conveyor belts of like sushi sliding across the screen, and you're, at least because I've been playing on the 3DS, I think with the, well, you can use the like little control nub, and then I think that's how it plays on the Switch. You then drag the stylus over the plates to like match, like create a chain of the same colored plates, and then they stack up in front of you, and you have like maybe six slots to hold these stacks before they get automatically thrown, or you can throw them at your opponent. I was enjoying it a lot until I'm super late in the game. But it's ramped up in a way that is so unfun that I don't think I can win.
Just, like, the difficulty just got really hard.
The asinine, like, hoops they're making me jump through to, like, actually beat these guys. Like, I need to be, like, either super over-leveled or be, like, playing perfectly to get
so
past
these
things. Okay, so
there's, like, an RPG, like, stats element to it.
Oh, yeah, you're leveling
up. I didn't even necessarily
know
that.
You've got these little, like, kind of, like, yokai Pokemon-esque, like, little spirits that are, like, they're technically creating the sushi that you're eating.
They're preparing it, or no, they're like conjuring it.
They're conjuring it. It's so the production value in this game is so absurd that it's unnecessary. There's fully voiced anime cutscenes like every few like.
Did they dub them? Is it like English or is it? Oh, wow,
it's so fucking weird. And they look decent.
I did notice a weird push behind this game.
All right,
so they must have put some money into it.
It's so strange. Like I ended up skipping a lot of them because I started playing when we were like at Cedar Point like that weekend, because that's like when it came out, and so like we were just like, we're in a room with a bunch of people, I don't want my headphones in or have this playing, so I'm just skipping like all the dialogue because I don't really care. But you can go back and watch like the anime cutscenes. But it's just, it's the weirdest thing, like how much effort was put into this like puzzle game. But yeah, there's like all kinds of leveling, there's equipment you can put on, all this other stuff.
Okay, yeah, that's a lot.
There's a lot in this game.
Yeah, like, it's more than I was expecting from like watching the trailer, where like the mechanic you describe of touching all the like sushis, and
there's
then...
so many like deeper levels to that. There's like weird, like there's things that other like obstacles that come on the track you can like
So that's like a full-on puzzle quest experience, where that game was like, still, the game you played was Bejeweled, but it also had all that.
Let me tell you about Bejeweled. I fucking love Bejeweled.
Leveling experience and all that nonsense.
Oh, yeah. It's all that kind of stuff. But I don't think... I think I either need to, like, go and grind out these other fights and, like, just get better, which sounds awful. So I think I might be done.
Okay, that's fair. But, I mean, you did play it for a good...
I played a lot of that game. I played a
healthy amount of it.
I did.
Does it have, like, online play? Can
yes.
you, like, just queue up and
there's online
fight
and
dudes?
Local as well.
Okay. I assumed it would have local, but
yeah.
That's neat.
I had fun with it until it got too hard.
Get good.
No.
Then play something else.
I will.
It's your free time.
That whole game seems cool.
I like this. style of it, it's really silly. The little, like, creature things are fun and kind of dumb. Like, my party was this, like, phoenix, this, like, hella buff dragon gator man with a sword, and this, like, fox mage thing, which probably they weren't the best. I probably could have had better guys on, too, but they were also my strongest ones because I just used them the most because I like their abilities. I enjoyed it from what I played of it. It was, I think it's full retail on both platforms, so it is technically cheaper on the 3DS.
It's 50 on Switch, so it's $10 less than like a
I think it was 40 on the. It was either 40 or 30.
It is 40. Okay. It is retail for 3DS and slightly less expensive. I'm looking at because I had to know because I didn't before I just Googled it the second who made this game. It's a Japanese developer called Indie Zero who have, that company at least, has like roots going back to the Super Nintendo, according to this Wikipedia page.
That name is super familiar.
But they have made other stuff on like the 3DS, like those theater rhythm games, maybe you've heard of them.
Yeah.
They made that, at least the 3DS version of that Ultimate NES Remix thing. Let's see what else is on here.
3DS, or not 3DS.
Oh my god,
the arrhythmia is still in my
Dragon Quest that I'm assuming only came out in Japan. Yeah. I should import
that. I remember
that.
When that was a thing.
I remember hearing made that too. Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to play it. 3DS is region locked.
Oh, that's right. I just assumed that
nothing
is because none of the other ones are at this point.
Get sad.
Well, all right. I guess I'm not importing that game.
Yeah. Sorry, I couldn't tell you one Dragon Quest song.
I mean, that's not really the point.
I might recognize them from playing Dragon Quest Builders because I played a lot of that game and never played a Dragon Quest game.
Yeah, I'm still only like intimately familiar with like approximately 50% of all the collective Final Fantasy music in those theater rhythm games, but I still play like all of it. Yeah, like I'll still play the songs I don't know, and it's still a rhythm game.
Maybe so. I don't know.
My eyes glaze over when it gets to like the Final Fantasy 11, 15.
I've been itching for some more.
11 through 14. I don't think they.
There's like a good 13 song.
Yeah, there's a couple good songs. It's just they're not parts of my childhood, so who gives a crap?
Mm-hmm.
I originally played 9 for the first time after hearing its music in the first Theatrhythmia, because I had never played it. And was a great choice. I love 9. 9 is bae.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense, though. I can see the through line.
9 is an acceptable choice for favorite Final Fantasy.
It's my favorite. Hands down, my favorite.
It is, I think, the one of those PlayStation era games has aged the best, just because they made it the most recently.
It was the most stylized.
The stylizedness. I mean, well, 7 is technically stylized, but it looks like trash.
Seven bears the burden of being the first Final Fantasy on a new platform. So there's things about it that are less awesome.
If you just look at like 4 and 6 and 7 and 9, the same thing.
Exactly. Developers
even, like,
figuring out how to use
even
the hardware.
10 and 12, on the PS2, like 10 still looks fine, but I think 12 probably
it's
crisper. The environments look better.
Production value wise, it is improved because
I've
they had more
playing 10 again.
They had more time
to
figure
shit out. Maybe.
I bought 10 and 10 2 for like $8 a couple years ago, and never even considered opening it.
I played it when it came out on the Vita.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Just 10 or both?
I tried 10-2 again and still couldn't get into it.
Dress fears, not doing it for you.
I don't like how the game flows. I don't like the weird mission-based stuff. Like, that never clicked with me.
The story and even sort of like the engine that moves the story forward were not fun, but battle system so much.
Yeah, I think I might be able to appreciate the battle system even more after playing like 13, where it's got some of that like kind of same.
So you can see hints of it
kind
in
of
that
thing,
game, of
like with the paradigm shifts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I hated how the story progressed in that game, how you actually like made progress, and I didn't get nearly as far as I did when I tried to play it on the PS2 this time. But in the re-releases, the HD ones, they added a mode that was in like the international version that only came out in Japan. That's like a mystery dungeon like mode where it's just like these, like, it's like a top down, like you're moving on a grid and enemies are around you. It's the weirdest thing, but I beat that.
That is strange.
That was fun. I enjoyed that a lot. that's the only part of 10-2 that I played and enjoyed.
Indeed.
Anime. Yeah. Anime game.
That Sushi Striker game seems really neat.
Yeah, I liked it. When I played of it, I liked it, but I just like when puzzle games get too hard, mm-hmm. like, it's kind of hard to, like, well, at least in this game, there's, like, some of that RPG stuff that you could kind of, like, game the system a little bit.
If you were willing to spend the raw hours to just
make it. But when puzzle games get hard, it's not like an RPG where, like, mm-hmm. you have more options. It's like you're literally like doing these mechanical motions and you have to like.
Sure. I mean, that's your and it's your own personal tolerance level up against any game. It's just like, you know, even if you're like mostly into a game experience, if the difficulty scales past like your willingness to give a shit.
Right.
And it's, like, just it's a very delicate balance. I trudged through some really hard fights and I can't. This one guy is just like, cause you have to like make combos to fight him. And those are like, you have to do like multiples of the same colored plate, so you have to like stock those up and then also be throwing them, and it's just, there's too many moving parts and I just can't
it's
time to play more Theater with Mia for like the third time this year.
Game development is, as it's always been, the struggle to annoy players just enough that they want to beat the challenge you set before them, but not so much that they throw their hands up in disgust and never come back.
But I played like probably close to 90% of that game already. So they did the thing.
Sure, right. Like, you got your.
I got what I needed out of that game.
You got your money's worth out of the time you put into it.
I enjoyed it. I had fun.
Neat.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Okami's fun. I still like that game.
Mm-hmm.
Have you played that before? Or is this your first time?
No, I have played it before. I don't think I've beaten it though. Yeah, I played it on the PS2.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And wanted to. The more I think about it, the more I might have beaten it, but I just don't remember. So I'm doing this as, I never beat this game. I want to beat this game.
Mm-hmm.
I want to beat this game.
I'm so glad the ghost ship was much shorter than I remember it being.
Yeah, and I actually have never played Okami before. Ship.
I hate it so much.
It was one of those games that like I saw the buzz about it when it came out on PS2 and then just never ended up checking it out at the time. And then when the Wii version came out, I bought a copy of it and then it immediately just disappeared under either the things I was doing in life at the time or other games I was playing. So I have a copy of the Wii that I've never once played that I always intended to play. But
yeah, when we picked our copy up, it was a used copy for the Wii was more expensive than a new PS2 one, so we got the PS2 version.
Although the copy I have for the Wii is probably worth like 50 cents more than the other ones because it's the one with that IGN watermark on it.
So
that's
good.
Pretty good.
I do have that exact version too.
That's so good.
I didn't send in for the free replacement.
Right, exactly. Like, this is way better. Why would I want the one that's fixed?
I still think it's really funny.
Liking that game.
Huh?
The Wii one?
I remember really liking that game.
Okami's so much fun. I enjoy it a lot. I love the style.
Some of the combat.
Yeah. The combat's
fine. It's frustrating.
Yes, but it's fine.
I feel like before we finish it, at least one time, since you saw that on the box
I don't want to do the move.
You should plug the move controller in and see how it works. All right, I won't force you, but...
No.
That's fine.
No.
Anyway.
I like Okami a lot. That's why I wanted to play it.
It's very stylish, very...
I can spin.
Artistically, it has aged astonishingly well. Like, some minor functional stuff, like weird camera issues, a little less so, but whatever. What are you going to do?
I mean, it was a PS2
like,
camera.
Right, it's like almost 15 years old or something at this point. It's getting up there.
Yeah, I think it was...
I never played, like, the HD versions or anything, so I don't know how good those are.
I mean, this isn't even the most HD version. This is the PS3 version of the game. But there's a PS4 version of it that came out after I bought the PS3 one.
Right.
Because I bought this a while ago.
For how much they like remaking that game, I'm surprised that they haven't ever made a sequel to it.
They made that 3DS game on the DS.
That's not a sequel. That's a piece of crap.
It is technically a thing.
I mean,
it is
the people
technically recycled content.
The people who made that game, either like handful of them ended up at Platinum, and everybody else was scattered to the wind. So I'm assuming that's largely
true.
The reason.
I love that Clover.
But I bet Platinum could put out a competent Okami 2.
Yeah.
Like if Capcom were to commission one.
If Capcom wanted to make video games.
Right, that sort of answered my question is when you said Capcom.
Yeah.
Right, sure.
Well,
yeah.
That'll learn you.
Yeah. Companies that make video games like once or twice a decade. Although I will say that I saw some more footage out of E3 of that their Mega Man thing, like Mega Man 11
Mega
or whatever
Man
it is.
11.
Looks good.
Maybe.
I don't think I've seen anything of it.
It looks
a lot like Mighty Number 9.
It looks better than Mighty Number 9, which is not a high bar.
It's not a hurdle.
It's like the lowest bar. That low-hanging fruit is touching the ground.
Yeah, that's... I did not enjoy that game.
I hated everything I've seen of it.
But I feel bad dunking on it, because
I don't.
I'm sure it took a ton of man hours to make something that disappointing. Like, like that thing was in development for like almost 3 years, I think. So
yeah.
A lot of effort went into making a game that no one likes.
Yay!
That's just like
somebody
we were talking about with.
They couldn't change his mind.
Yeah, nope. With like Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite over the weekend. It's just like the amount of raw energy it takes
to produce
to make the
so
least
bad.
Interesting and uninspired games you can imagine is. It's at least worth thinking that about all the like largely sleepless nights people went through grinding it out to make something so disappointing.
Yay.
I hope they were well paid.
Yeah,
I hope right. So.
The answer to that is like
probably not.
Maybe,
yeah, maybe.
Not for the effort.
Yeah, I couldn't begin to speak to what the compensation packages are like for Japanese game devs. I hope they're.
Decent.
In line with or better than they are here, but I have no fucking idea if that's true or not.
Right.
Not a thing I'm privy to.
Yeah, because that's the other conversation we got into like a couple podcasts ago when we were talking about game dev stuff in particularly, and it's the thing that makes it psychologically hard for like the general public at large to support things like unionization or just straight up like wage increases. Because on the one hand, on average, relative to plenty of other professions, The salaries that game developers take home are, like, respectable. Like, they're usually pretty okay. But the working conditions and actual hours they spent laboring are such that, like, when you factor in
the actual,
how often
like,
they are
mental
working...
and physical tolls.
Yeah, how often they are working over 40 hours a week. It diminishes that amount significantly per hour when you look
I
at it.
I know this isn't unique to this story, but I was reading or saw a video on, like, the development of Super Metroid, and they said... They basically had a room at Nintendo for people to go take naps in because they weren't going home.
Yeah, there's a lot of that even still like today of
right
when we were watching that that documentary about remaking Final Fantasy 15 or whatever.
Oh god,
there's a lot of people
you mean 14.
Like 14, yeah, the MMO one.
Okay,
yep, not the other one.
Yeah,
of right, people grinding in a hardcore to try to turn that thing around in a year and sleeping under their desks and
a Japanese work ethic at work.
Yeah. It's intense, but yeah, that's when you like basically like it's the same with anything else, right? If you're working twice the average number of hours, you're essentially getting paid half as much as the your paycheck signifies. So, word of warning, but
oops.
Yeah, it's rough out there.
Yep,
but yeah, Okami is very cool.
Bark, bark,
I like
bark.
Watching that game.
I like the bark button.
You like the bark button.
Any game that has a bark button. Gets extra points with me.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Lorraine, which is better, a bark button or that hug button from the more modern version of A Boy and His Blob where you can push the button
it's
and the
bark.
Boy will hug the blob?
Bark.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I don't know. Hug button, pretty compelling.
Bark,
bark, bark, bark, bark, bark, right. Bark, 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 bark.
You make a you make a solid argument yourself.
Bark, 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 bark.
Is that if you were on the Senate floor, is this how you would block Trump's Supreme Court nomination?
No,
you would just
I
go
would,
to the podium and bark
no,
for 18 hours
I would go I would read the longest piece of American literature that there is, which is the Super Smash Brothers Brawl Subspace Emissary fanfic.
That'd be very good.
I would read
I would briefly tune into that for 30 minutes at a time on C-SPAN. Like I would check in to see where you were at on.
That's what I would do.
Oh, anyway. Sorry, you just took me. You caught me off guard there a little. I don't know how to transition out of Smash Brothers fan fiction.
You
so
don't.
I'm just
gonna
do it by asking Kyle if he's played any video games recently.
Nah, sorry.
That's fair. I haven't been playing anything either.
I really let you guys down. I know.
No, you're fine. Like I said,
carrying
no,
this podcast
so
in my
so
back.
Bad.
I'm ready to talk about whatever. I haven't really been playing anything either. I have recently been doing the game dev thing.
I've been helping, sort of, but not nearly as much.
Stuff's going okay. It's just always...
That's good.
Every single thing that ever happens is like, I pray this will only take me like 3 days.
I mean,
and it
yes.
ends up taking me like 4.5 days.
But that's also like, that's also software development just in general.
Right.
Games are definitely more volatile because there's so many weirder moving parts. But
And summer has been both an amazing boon and like a noose around my fucking neck in terms of getting stuff done for the games or even just like programming specific like anything because like the nicer weather like the sunlight and all that makes me more motivated to be able to just work a little harder like it's just easier than when it's like the dead of February and it gets dark at 5 p.m. just like psychologically, it's easier for me to,
and I love it.
To work on stuff in those conditions. But at the same time, when the weather is nice enough that you could or should be outside, it feels both incredibly productive and like incredibly devastating to have sat at a desk for 6.5 hours in a stretch and then been like, mm-hmm. oh, I got so much done. But also, I'm basting in my own juices. And the world is right out there waiting for me.
But it's also been like 90 degrees outside every single day, and that just makes me want to die.
It was pretty good over the weekend. Like,
over the weekend.
The weekend was okay, but man, the general two-week period here has kind of sucked.
Mm-hmm. I hate it.
I hate it. Let's move to Arizona.
No, right. The opposite of that. Inverse worse. Arizona.
I'll take it.
I just want to appreciate this better.
I'll take the July we've had so far. Those handful of 70-degree days or whatever. It's more than you're likely to get. And like as summer starts to crest, so I'll take them where I can find them. But
Stanley, yeah. I just want to skip to fall. Just give me that right now. That's all I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just been a lot of that stuff and a lot of and some of those things again. Like I can never tell if I'm actually smart and good at what I do because sometimes things that take me like 3 hours to diagnose are stupid, or if that is what makes me dumb. Because I don't make
I'm going to say yes to both.
The thing that I've been working on the most recently is trying to fully automate randomly generating levels for Down the Drain.
Which is something I never wanted to attempt because I'm not that smart.
Lorraine's maze navigating
my son
snake game.
My daughter.
and it is now working. Like it's 80 to 90% there.
I still can't believe how well it works. Was that one dumb hiccup, but I've been like, basically my way of helping was pressing a button and making it randomly generate a level, and then checking to make sure that there were no misplaced tiles.
A functional level,
yes. Right? And it always was, save one time. But Dustin figured out where the weird array wrapping or something was happening.
And that issue specifically, in addition to a handful of other times where the exact same thing happened, like, I am proud of myself because...
You definitely should be.
When I wrote out, kind of typed out a rough draft of what I think needed to be done to make this function and then implemented it, I am proud that I largely didn't have to, redesign it from the ground up. I didn't hit some stumbling block halfway through where it was like, this isn't going to work at all, and I have to throw it all out and start again.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, every time I did hit like a snag or just something wasn't working and it took me hours to figure it out, it was almost always just like I had copy-pasted a section of code and forgot to change like one thing out of like 10 lines into a different thing. And so like 2.5 hours later of just staring at it and wondering why it didn't work.
I've got like
those kind of things. Both of those things together make me feel both incredibly smart and, so stupid.
I mean, I've got that one picture that it's like, who would win? 3,000 lines of code or one curly boy? Let me tell you about curly braces and semicolons. They will fuck you up.
But yeah, it's fuck that kind things. Of, like, it's just a giant push and pull. But
yes.
It has felt good to get to make that work. Like I said, I was,
you absolutely should be proud of that shit. Because it looks like... I have half a mind to just, scrap all the other levels that I made. Why do we even need them? Let's just use that for everything.
Because I'm deeply...
I have a few, slight nitpicks that I don't need to get into now.
Mm-hmm. We can talk about it.
But, it's fucking incredible. Yeah. You did an amazing job.
I'm deeply ashamed that it took as long as it did to get it up and running, but I'm glad that
it works.
That's
because my code is garbage.
No, it didn't have anything to do with your...
Yes, it does.
What I've done to date hasn't even interacted with the stuff you've already written code-wise. It was just me trying to figure out how to make it go.
System. All in all.
But honestly, the groundwork that you did lay was very helpful. I think it'll be very helpful for the end product because I could have built it, and this was the first draft in my head before I scrapped that and decided to move on. I could have built it one little square at a time.
I did.
Right, but what I'm saying is if I did that, I think the randomly generated levels would have been less interesting if it was just drew one giant linear path through the whole thing. But the way that it's built now is, like you said, what you had done when you were building levels by hand is you made interesting looking pipe sections that basically function like puzzle pieces, and then you would kind of shuffle them together manually. So all I had to do was automate the shuffling process, but since the pieces that shuffle is made of are inherently more interesting shapes than the shapes that the program would be likely to generate if I had made it a more linear, just more straightforward, snake-like path through an area. I think it benefits from that groundwork that you did implementing it that way as opposed to the other way. So
I've
think it's good.
A note. Well, I have a notebook that I've been using since we started literally day one of Down the Drain, and there are multiple probably tens of pages documenting my struggle with making these pipe pieces.
So that was very
4 years ago or whatever.
Again, that was very helpful, and all that work for the most part we got to reuse. Like I had to jettison a handful of them because
that's fine.
The nature of making it work correctly is that, I don't know. Certain shapes have to have, openings that basically continue the maze. So any ones that, loop back on themselves, I had to just chuck. I had to throw them in the trash.
Why do you think you're stupid again? This is all just people sounding really smart about stuff I vaguely grasp but not able to perform on my own.
It's the same thing as, if you're an NBA player... I bet you feel real shitty when LeBron dunks on you. Why do I even do this? That's how I feel about programming. I'm okay at it. But I know there are so many people who are so much smarter than me who could have done the same thing with half as much work and done it twice as quickly.
If it makes you feel better, it took me probably close to a week to get the original one. Even making a thing on the screen.
Sure.
LeBron James is an unfair standard. Sometimes you just want to be I don't know, some middling basketball player. I should be able to dig one out.
Who is the most 50% of
the whitest of white bread, the fucking 7 on the pH scale of NBA players.
Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol is also a star, but he's not like LeBron James.
There you go. That's what I'm saying is that like you said, I do feel like a kernel of pride for being able to get that stuff to work at all.
Definitely should.
I don't doubt that everybody who is in any position, even people who are legitimately very good at the thing they do, professional athletes, for example, I'm sure they just feel like total shit.
Sometimes LeBron James gets dunked on.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Nobody is 100% 100% of the time.
I am.
fair. That's fair, Lorraine. Anyway. Yeah, it's been good. It has felt good to accomplish something, but it is always frustrating because every single time, like clockwork, I try to do a thing.
Dead Left Shrimp, that's what I'm going with.
It's a great name.
That's a great name.
I only know of him from Parks and Rec.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think that's why he's stuck in my head, but I knew of him.
That's pretty good.
Because any consolation, Dustin, you'll always be smarter than me.
I don't know about that.
That's absolutely true.
That's not even a fair assessment.
Yeah, exactly. We all have our strengths and weaknesses when it comes to coding. But it's still not linear. That's still what gets me down, which I shouldn't let it get me down either, is that it's not and those are the conversations I've had with Brian too, is it's not a linear even if someone is better than you at certain types, certain aspects of doing a thing, they're worse than you at others. When I would have conversations about Brian, we're perfectly situated in the middle ground of, at least from what we can tell from the groups of people we've worked with professionally, neither of us is the best, has ever been the best technologically, the highest functioning, from a raw programming capacity at what we do, but we're just good enough, and in many cases, we've both been able to be more personable and more able to communicate a thing that is complicated and technological in terms that business people who are not complicated and technological can largely understand. And those are most of the time when the people who are in the programming sphere who are definitively better than me and have interacted with personally, they all usually, not always, but usually fall down on that end of things. They just aren't able to interface.
Interact with another human.
Right. Yeah. And at that point, that's also, that's its own problem. Because at some point, when you're building a thing for regular people, you need them to be able to tell you what they want, and you need to be able to communicate to them what information you need from them to do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if that line of communication, does not function, then you can't do the nitty gritty in the first place. So, yeah.
Woo.
You guys are all awesome.
We're all shrug.
Different. We have different skills, different strengths, different weaknesses.
Yeah,
heart.
Everybody out there,
try to be fire or wind.
Yeah, everybody out there, when you're down about whatever you're up to in general, just try to remember that. Try to remember to give yourself credit for your victories and not let your you know, your defeats demoralize you. Because
they do.
Because everybody has both of those things. Everybody wins sometimes, and everybody definitively loses sometimes. So
let me tell you,
seven times, get up eight times.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about my losses. It's an eight volume series.
Gotta lose a lot before you win.
But what if I don't win?
Yeah, that's mostly what I've been up to. So
that's the only way you really lose. Yay. When you give up.
Yeah, over the next the rest of this week, I'll probably legit finish that.
Woo.
Like I'll get all the other stuff to spawn in on top of the generated maps and stuff, and then by the end of this
and
week,
that's your code to begin with. Like I told you,
yeah,
I didn't do that.
By
shit.
The end of this
I'm
week,
dumb.
I'll hopefully hand it off to you fully to just plug in the hooks to get
help.
A menu option to pick it, and then just to
help.
To test it way more than I've tested it to make sure that it's actually working and not that it's that it looks like it's working, but it's not.
I hope that game has a wide array of flushing noises.
Not yet.
We should put some in. That's a good idea.
Saying we should Foley some?
Sure. We got toilets. We got microphones. We have the two things we would need.
The day I did a Foley work is still one of the funnest days I've done. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those sounds are in the game.
All right.
I am aching to punch a bucket of macaroni and cheese, so if you can find a good way to use noise.
What did you do? What was the goop sound you made with Jello or something, didn't you?
Yeah, I think that might have been just scooping Jello out of a bowl.
You were
hitting
it or something.
Yeah,
you
I don't remember.
Did something.
Yeah, so I guess I've given you some audio.
You did.
But
I really like the science of, you know, sampling weird sounds, especially for sci-fi movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm. My favorite...
The iconic Star Wars laser, I'm pretty sure, is a guy hitting bare wire with a wrench instead of that sound sped up.
It's very good.
Yeah.
I don't think I did anything with it, but one of the sounds, I took, I think the microphone we're using right now for the Skype call or the internet call. I had it at my house, and one of the things I did was I set it up in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And just sat on the other end of it and shot Nerf darts past it just to see what would happen.
Uh-huh.
Either the sound of it firing or the dart going past it or hitting it.
Mm-hmm.
I got weird.
Mm-hmm.
I put a bucket in a shower and let it drip, and that sound is hella in down the drain.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good sound.
Yeah, that's very good. My favorite, again, that I already dropped.
Fucked around with a washing machine. That was cool.
I already dropped the reference, but. My favorite, game production clip I've ever seen was after the original Dead Space came out, when the way they made the noise of that dude stomping aliens with his space boots was literally filling one of those, 5-gallon Home Depot buckets with macaroni and cheese and just violently punching it with their fists.
Awesome.
So, I can only hope to get one day to get paid to punch macaroni and cheese for...
I mean, no one's stopping you.
Sure, but I want to be compensated.
For it either.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Fair enough.
It's not the same if you're just doing it for fun. Then
would
you
eat punched mac and cheese?
Depends
if I was the one who punched it, I probably would. I wouldn't eat all of it, but I would eat some of it.
What kind of mac and cheese?
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions here.
Yeah, that's also fair. but yeah, if it were my own fists doing the punching and I sourced the mac and cheese, yeah, I'd probably eat it. At least some of it.
If you also have, 5 gallons of mac and cheese, you can't let that go to waste.
Sure,
exactly.
Gotta have a little.
Let me tell you about 10 pounds
of
pudding.
Got this thing here.
I'm sure we can do some hella Foley work with that giant can of pudding.
That pudding can would make a good noise if it were
probably
dropped off the roof of a parking garage.
That or just with the pudding itself. There's so many doors we haven't looked in yet.
Oh.
Yep. It's really an example of creativity.
Very good. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've been up to. And other than that, I've still been playing a little Pokemon Go in preparation for GoFest this weekend. But
that's where we're going.
What's the special hook at GoFest this year?
Torkoal.
So yeah, it's not 100% clear what all of them will be, but Torkoal is one of them because he's native to India in the real world. In the Pokemon Go universe, Torkoal only lives in India.
It's been out for a while.
Yeah, but for the...
I mean, it was the same with Heracross.
Yeah, for this event, he'll appear in Chicago for 2 days.
Okay.
Oh.
That's still uninspiring.
Yeah.
And then they're
unknown.
Solid gold Mewtwo.
Right. Well, there will be unknowns.
Look closer,
spelling...
Lenny.
Unknown spelling some word. Probably Celebi, because he's being released over GoFest weekend. Like, that's the first time you'll be able to get Celebi in the game, is by doing, like, a quest line to get Celebi on site. And then I'm assuming they'll just release it to the general public either that weekend as well, or, like, in the following week.
I mean, I doubt any of us are going to finish it that weekend.
Well, so the thing there is, it looks like the version you do at GoFest will be built to be done in a day.
Huh.
And then the one that they put out for the general public may or may not be the same thing.
Would we do it twice, or would we be like...
I don't know. Huh. We'll find out.
Interesting.
Couldn't tell you.
Make sure you have excellent documentation of all your costs this time. Just, you know, in case.
I know. I should have... Dustin didn't get an email, but I did. About the class action lawsuit.
Right.
And, I mean, we don't have that documentation for, like...
It's fine.
...travel, so I just didn't do anything about it.
Sure. I mean, your travel costs are pretty low.
Yeah. If we had spent more money, we would have
also,
had that documentation.
Also, because of the flight...
Yeah.
They got, oh, God. Right. Just listen to that. Just listen to the GoFest podcast from last year. Like,
That
day was
fine.
An odyssey, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still reeling.
Ready to go right back at it.
What?
Ready to go right back at it.
Sure. Why not? Yeah,
it'll
be
a lot more organized this year.
They had just today they had they put up a like developer blog about like their readiness for the event this time, because last year
well they just fucked up that Safari Zone in Europe, so we'll see how good that goes.
But again, that was not comparable. Like, it wasn't good that the game was down at all, but that was like the game was fine across the city and down for like 3 hours, I think, on site. And at GoFest, the game was down for, like, multiple hours across large swaths of the population, and it basically never worked right by the end of the day. So it was definitely better. And I'm assuming this will be better than that. But at least, like, the thing that hurt me about that, at least, is that it did function outside of the bounds of their event space. So, like I said, if we show up and it's not working in the park, we'll just go walk around. Like, we'll just go Chicago and
we're
hang
also,
out.
Also, because it's 2 days this year,
uh-huh.
and we're going on the second. So if the first day fucking bombs, they'll probably have opened it up.
Sure.
Like, to the city before then, so we might we might have to step into
and that's part of the plan anyway. Like, it's still not 100% clear what gameplay elements will be available where, but there will be some like unique interaction across the like downtown Chicago area, not just in like the little 2 square mile like park area they've got set aside for it. So
here's hoping it's not a giant park of mud this year. That was cool.
Yeah, we'll see how that all goes, but I think it's very interesting. I still want to see what they do going forward, because in my mind, I would make it, and I get why they don't, and even after, like, reading an interview with the CEO of Niantic or whatever, like, they kind of doubled down on the thing I had assumed already about their process. Like, why they even have, like, the physical element tied into it at all, because it's a digital game, right?
Yeah.
So, like, they could just say, like, you know, here's a unique stop that lets you check in on every 2 street corners or whatever, and now go play the video game, just, like, wherever you are in a city we designate. But I mean, they do the whole event setup and like, you know, build structures and stuff, cause it's better like publicity, which is the only the reason they do it in the first place. Like, they want people to tweet that shit, post pictures of Instagram with Squirtle or whatever.
Yeah. That went so well last year.
Indeed.
I don't know how I found this again, but I saw this like few panel, like comic in regards to GoFest. And it reminded me that Spark, the Team Instinct leader, was not appearing correctly in the game during that period of time. I
Mongo
missed
Beater.
Him.
Sure.
Where was that man?
The
Team Valor lady.
But yeah,
it's not Spark.
I think it'll be a good time.
It'll be something.
And that game is still really weird. But that thing that Brian told us, again, I didn't verify it personally. But if I would totally believe that it's true... where he had linked some article or whatever that was like that Pokemon is either the most or one of the most valuable like in popular
IPs.
Culture intellectual properties that exist.
It's gotta be.
And Pokemon Go makes me believe that, both because it's at like somehow now it's actually like the like since the release of trading and stuff, like that update they pushed out like a month ago, it's actually they finally got back up like around peak, like they're slightly past peak numbers for like daily active and monthly active users from when it was like the biggest thing on Earth when it first launched for like 3 weeks. But the other thing about it is that like, unlike any other thing that I can think of off the top of my head, you will encounter literally people from every walk of human life. Mm-hmm. I have encountered people of every race, of every age group, just like of even every interest in like, you know, video game shit in general, because some of them are like, you know, people who grew up with the games, mm-hmm. or people whose kids grew up with the games, and some of them are people in their 70s who just like, you know,
that's awesome.
Their kid downloaded the app and it's a good reason to like get outside and go mm-hmm. get some exercise. And Pikachu is still cute. Like, even if you don't know what Pokemon right. is, you mm-hmm. know,
Everybody know Pikachu.
He's a little yellow mouse, and that's, you want to pinch his little electric cheeks.
And he shocks you.
But yeah, it's really something from from that perspective. Like, it's amazing what the demographic, like, market penetration is for that thing, because it's pretty much, like, it's pretty much anybody, which, you know, that tracks with that statement, at least. But
mm-hmm.
it's a cool thing.
Sure.
I'm all about it. Again, it's still to this day the perfect example of the video game itself is fine, but the social interactions that, mm-hmm. that it lends itself to are what you show up for. Like it'll inch you into the mindset of getting off your butt and going to Chicago for a weekend. Like that's mm-hmm. that's a good side effect of playing the game, and playing the game is also fine. But if it can encourage you to do cool things that you otherwise might not do, then that's a positive in my book. So
I wonder if we're gonna get another patch this year.
Yeah, I bet there will be one more update.
Cool.
Because they were supposed to be like quarterly, or not quarterly. Like I
no,
think it was
I
three
meant
updates
like a
each.
Physical patch.
Oh,
like we've got
that's
a little iron-on
meant.
Thing that matches the badge they gave us in game.
We'll see.
My account has a badge that says I was at GoFest last year. And I want another one. And they gave us a physical version of it, and I want another one.
Mm-hmm. Go Damn. By the merch booth and see what they're selling for.
Probably
higher
trash.
Than retail
yeah.
price. I still couldn't believe that they were selling,
it doesn't
like,
surprise me
they
at
were
all.
Selling the Go Plus accessories there, but they were like $5 to $10 more mm-hmm. than they are like off the rack at Target. But I guess if you're there and you need one, you're pretty hard up.
Yeah.
So, you know, kudos to them, I suppose.
The Disney model.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Although I will say their last-ditch effort to release more tickets actually was kind of cool, because they, as of, I think it was yesterday afternoon.
Oh, wow.
They put out like a fistful of will call tickets. Like, there was another, I have no idea how many they were.
Just
but it was
unclaimed.
It was a few hundred at least. And I guess these ones were set aside for the Chicago, like, Metropolitan Parks Department.
Hmm.
So they were sold by them, and all of the money for those tickets just goes to the Parks
cool.
Department. Because people are gonna, you know, trample the shit
yeah,
out of all their nice foliage in the next couple days, but...
Get dead.
Yeah, but they were, like, three times the retail rate.
Oof.
So people at first didn't know they were real. They were like, mm-hmm. I don't know if this is legit, so, you know, buy at your own risk.
Maybe not, right.
But then, right, the nature of it was, oh yeah, that's intentional, both to squash demand a tiny bit,
yeah.
and also to just,
Make
like,
them available
put
and
it towards
also,
a good cause
yeah.
so people don't bitch so much that we're, like, tripling the price of the thing we sold originally.
That's good.
But yeah, so people had one more bite at the apple if they Chomp. Got locked out earlier. Lorraine, don't eat your microphone.
I'm gonna eat my microphone.
That's bad.
Yeah,
shouldn't do that.
Nom, 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 nom.
I'm looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. It'll be fun. We're going to go walk around.
That sounds like you had fun last time.
Yeah, all things considered, it was fun.
So.
And like I said, this time, technologically, one way or another, even if it is another shit show, I know we'll have a better time this time than last time because I'm more ready to do the thing to make the trip better.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to sit there and agonize about, like, just stare at my phone for, like, an hour praying that it'll work. I'm just going to, we're going to bail and we're going to go have a good afternoon
right.
elsewhere. So, yeah, either
Chicago's
way, it will be
place.
Good.
Plenty to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I pray that I get the opportunity to eat deep dish pizza until I nearly puke.
Oh, man.
That's my
not.
Plan.
That deep dish pizza we got last time, I remember it fondly, frequently.
Yep, yeah, it was a blessing and a curse. I
no,
totally.
There's no curse.
I totally. I was still
was
even.
Beautiful.
Even like the second day, like. Fresh out of the fridge, like leftovers, I was pretty satisfied by.
Uh-huh.
I was like, this is
I
all right.
I've eaten that pizza for like a week.
Yeah. Oh, that was great. Yeah. I
and then the smoke alarm was beeping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was less good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There was no
that
upside
was a,
to that.
That was a trip, man. Mm, oh, boy.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That was not fun.
There was that. There was the tournament.
Covering it with a pillow.
Uh huh.
And then there was the pizza, and then Richie bailed on us.
The rest of that
us.
Weekend can go to hell, but that pizza, man.
Yeah.
worth the trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm hoping that maybe that'll be our dinner on Saturday night. Because we're leaving Saturday morning and staying that night and then playing on Sunday and just heading home on Sunday at some point. So, yeah, man.
It's a good weekend.
Let's go get deep dish pizza. I'm ready.
I'll have a slice.
Do you know if Jillian's ever had like Chicago-style dish? Like in Chicago?
Probably. She goes to Chicago a lot. Okay. Or she's been to Chicago multiple times.
I know she's been to Chicago plenty of times, but I don't know if she eats the way that I eat. Like, those are, like, basically, I'm suggesting that she might have more self-respect than I do.
Oh, I know she does. Okay, let me refer you back to the fruit touching the ground.
Sure.
Low bar. Low bar.
I have a lot of respect for somebody who enjoys his food. Let's put it like that.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm ready to
y'all just tear into that deep dish pizza. I'm pretty sure I had a slice then and didn't have any the next morning.
I don't remember if I had two the night of.
I'm pretty sure I had one, and then you guys got that bread too, and the fucking, like, it was two pizzas and that bread, and it weighed like 10 or 15 pounds.
I do remember how heavy it was. That was the best part of all.
We all lifted the box, like, look, check out how heavy the pizza is.
Yep.
Say what you will about the DBZ card game. Those trips were fun.
Mm-hmm. Again,
that was the only reason I let myself back into it. Is because I knew it.
Very,
stuff like that.
Very similar to Pokemon Go.
Right.
It's about the journey, literally.
Them's were some fun trips.
Yeah.
Chicago, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And you went on slightly
more. All places I still want to go back to, honestly, especially Louisiana, because I went to that New Orleans tournament, and I would have, like, the thing I did at the Virginia one, I wish I would have done at the New Orleans one, but it was just harder because I didn't have, like, the transport options. Yeah. So when I went to that Virginia tournament scrubbed out, I just immediately bailed and then just drove to, like, Civil War sites before the sunset. So that was pretty sweet. But at the New Orleans one, I played till the end of the tournament and did shitty and then didn't do anything because it was, like, 10 p.m. or whatever, and then we had to leave the next morning. So yeah, I should have just gone and got, like, gumbo or beignets or whatever instead of continuing to play Dragon Ball and get my ass kicked. But yeah,
delightful.
Yeah, I could stand at least like 48 to like 72 hours in New Orleans because I think I've only been there twice, and it was just like that. Mm-hmm. It was like for one card event that was like a rough, like, 24 to, like, well, 36 to 48 hour trip, and then I was out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could.
I've never been to New Orleans. It's one of the oldest places I've ever come close to.
The downtown area seems neat. I didn't get to do anything, but we were just barely near, like, the French Quarter and stuff when we were at the convention center. Like, we were, you know, maybe a couple blocks away.
Go to Bourbon Street and get bourbon chicken.
Sure. Oh, well, that was the wrong convention center because we went to the one. There's one downtown, and I guess there's one somewhere else, and for whatever reason, the dude we Ubered the first time took us to the wrong one, and then we had to go to the other one, but yeah, whatever. It was good.
Get some King Babies or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah,
lots of places I'd like to go back to, but that's one that I haven't really spent any time in significantly, but I'd be down for that. Oh, yawn. Podcast taking its toll, Lorraine.
Maybe.
Say, are we about time to...
No, I mean, I can keep talking about garbage.
Right. Yeah, we can talk about garbage all night.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you have anything else to throw into the fray, go for it.
I mean, not really.
Because otherwise, like, yeah, I think we're kind of a natural stopping point. Like, lots of exciting stuff coming up. We got Maker Faire in a couple weeks.
It's true. We'll be there. Come by and see us.
Talk about that a little more.
The Henry Ford Museum of Innovation. Is that what it's fucking called? American Museum of Innovation?
I think the title now is the Henry Ford Museum of American Innovation.
There you go.
Which is, yeah. Yeah, it's not as good now as it was. It's a little nationalistic for my tastes at this point. But the museum itself is still very good. So
I'm sure it is.
Don't judge it by the marketing,
I guess. We'll be there for the fucking, fifth year?
Something like that.
Fourth year for us, technically, because we were there 2013 with U of M Dearborn, but that wasn't our shit.
Yeah, it'll be good. We're making progress. There was a universe where we would have legit released a thing this weekend, and that's not quite happened, but it's close. I can see the For Down the Drain specifically, I can see the.
We did kind of shift gears because Down the Drain was a little more like feature complete than Cucumber.
Like I can see where that game is done.
Something close to a marketable product.
I can see where that game is done and is a game. And there were parts of where we were making it that I wasn't even sure what the vision was to like to make it a complete thing. But I have a clear view.
There was never a vision.
I have a clear view of what it was like to ship that game. So
don't let me be in charge of the game.
Originally, you had Wii U dev kits and such.
We still have it. It's still coming out.
I assume this. Are they going to come out on Wii U?
Sure.
Maybe. I'm going to say the answer is maybe. Mostly because I don't know what like the certification process is like now that that thing is like 2 feet into the grave or whatever.
Like recent Wii U.
We'll find out. I will say that I bet it'll be on Switch at some point. But that'll we'll need to get the hardware for that and then go from there.
Okay.
But yeah, what we're gonna do at this point, since it's been longer than intended, is Steam first and then everything else second. Mm. So we'll figure it out as we go. I'm ready to ship a thing and then we'll work backwards to see what other hoops we have to jump through to get it on the platforms we want to get it on. But yeah, maybe on the Wii U, just for funsies. I don't know. We'll see.
You can be a footnote somewhere. The last Wii U game.
Yeah, exactly. Like at that point, we should just hold out until the day before they stop certifying new Wii U games and make sure we're the last game on that platform before. That'd be a fun. I'll make myself a fun little trophy that that is like last place Nintendo Wii U.
Worth it.
Yeah, but we'll see. I think it'll be good.
I mean, there are technically games releasing this year, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, they'll release.
I mean, I don't doubt that there's stuff trickling out on there, like all kinds of places over time. There were Dreamcast games coming out in like this decade, like PS2 in Japan. Games. Yeah.
I'm just trying to find like nothing in here. Maybe like, say 2018.
Those Just Dance games are still coming out.
Yeah,
on
it's
the
coming
Wii.
Out. It's coming out on the Wii U, too. Mm-hmm. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night came out on the Wii U. Or is coming out on the
funny.
Wii U.
The like, I'm assuming that's like the pixel art. Like,
yeah, I'm pretty sure it's
that's
that one.
That's the preview game for that game, not the game itself. Indeed.
No, I think that's the other one.
I don't think that's out legit yet, though.
Yeah, I don't think that's out yet.
It says it's coming. It says it's coming to Wii U.
Okay, well, then it will be. All right.
It will be.
It's coming to Vita, too, so, you know, they're covering all their bases.
Sure, all the freshest and most relevant platforms.
I love my Vita. They killed it. They
when
murdered it.
When you set up these Kickstarters, you say you'll release it on the Vita, and I think you're kind of locked into doing it at that point, even
they
if it takes you next year.
They murdered it.
Mm-hmm.
They murdered
it. Yeah, we did dodge that bullet, because there was a point where we also could have gotten Vita hardware. And I was like, well, our plates are already pretty full, so we'll kick that can down the road for now.
I wish it was easier to do that, too.
Yeah.
Technically, if it's on the PS4, you can stream that shit on your Vita, so.
Sure.
There you go.
I have done that. Luckily, I have streamed PS4 games on my Vita before.
Luckily, we're finally at the point where...
it's dope.
We've reached the point through linear time where Microsoft has rolled out their, like... Turn an Xbox into a dev kit.
We did do that.
So So we get to eventually put stuff out on that platform without having to acquire more expensive hardware. So I'm grateful for that.
Not a second Kickstarter, yay!
Well, whatever. That's not going to happen.
No, I said not a second Kickstarter.
I would just pony up for it at this point.
I wouldn't fucking.
Like
do
on
it.
One hand, I'm glad we tried that, but on the other, it is both. I'll still be totally satisfied and very grateful when we release both of these games.
Mm-hmm.
But the Kickstarter thing, I would not do again.
Never.
If it were anything,
if
like,
I don't have to do crowdfunding again, it'll be too.
If it were anything like that, like if we ever did the like, theoretically tried to make a cardboard game product, it wouldn't. I would consider something like that not to fund the product, not to fund the project, but to fund the product. Like I would use it as a pre-order thing. Like, look, we're just going to judge how many of these we need to print, and then once we have a rough idea that we'll print that many. Like, I wouldn't use it to fund either in whole or in part, like another like project from the ground up.
Never.
For a lot of reasons. Partially because stuff has taken us so long, and partially because the crowdfunding landscape is very different now than
that
it was
too,
three or four years ago.
I mean, even when we were doing it, it was completely different from, like...
Yeah, the wave, like...
It's been
the
just...
wave had just about crested
when
we were, like, the tide was going out.
We got in when the getting was good, kind of.
We got in when the getting was starting to become grim.
Yeah.
And now it is, like, very grim.
Mm-hmm. Although, I did... this was a while ago. I did back, like, an Indiegogo
mm-hmm.
a couple of months ago. And I think, like, because I guess down there, I don't know if I doubt Kickstarter has it, but they've got to just, like, any, like, it's kind of like a GoFundMe. Like, they'll just give you whatever you end up getting. Like,
yeah.
You can basically, there's a toggle right. for it, I guess.
Yeah, whatever is donated and by when you're, yeah, exactly.
They didn't
yeah,
come anywhere it. Close to meeting their goal, but mm-hmm. they got, because they did it in that way, so they got the money. And I learned recently that they got some kind of, like, Microsoft funding. Because there's just, like, it's, like, two guys and, like, I don't... It's some Eastern European country. I don't remember exactly what it is, but the game looked interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I could say what it is. It doesn't matter.
I mean, up to you.
It's a survival game, but it's called Small Land. It's all one word, and you're playing, like, their goal is to make it so you can play with a handful of, like, eight people, I think, in, like, an instance or something like that. And mm-hmm. you're just a tiny person, and you're building shit, and then bad shit happens, like animals and weather.
Sure.
It looked neat. I liked the art style of it.
That's fun.
Yeah. I think they're still going to honor the backing, so I might get, like, at least one extra key
mm-hmm.
For, like, the demo, like, the beta even, because I'm, like, in that tier, sure. and I'm going to get the game anyway.
Right.
That's cool. But we can maybe check that out on stream if that, whenever.
Sure,
if that, like, beta comes up or something.
Mm-hmm.
Play with somebody online.
Yeah, that's neat. Yeah, it's just it's a combination of a lot of things.
But yeah.
Among them being the landscape for all media.
Oh yeah.
And specifically video games is still, it's so crowded at this point that, like, mm-hmm.
especially more video games. By
the day. Yeah, as tough of an ask as it is to even get someone to acknowledge or
you,
God forbid, pay money for your fully fleshed out released product, like. Multiply that by 10 to 100 uh-huh. at this point when it comes to getting someone to throw down interest and money for your, here's a cool idea that I'd like to mm-hmm. do.
I mean, especially with just the, like, kind of, like, undelivered promises and just,
yeah,
like,
every, yeah, it's a whole
every good
bunch
project
of things.
That fully comes through with everything it said, there's mm-hmm. like 1,000 more that,
yeah, but there are
don't
still,
actually,
like,
fulfill.
Right. There are still, like, benefits to that stuff existing. It's
yeah.
just not, like, it's not as open a platform as people might have hoped
no.
it would have been at a certain point. Because, like, people, like, established creators getting stuff out that they might not mm-hmm. otherwise get out, like, that's still good. And using it for physical products, I do think, actually makes a lot more sense when you can pull it off than using it for,
mm-hmm.
like, ephemeral, like, digital video games
yeah.
or, like, trying to fund a film or whatever. Like, when it's like, hey, I've designed this board game, I just need to know how many we
yeah.
do. We need to make hundreds or thousands. You guys tell
or
us
10.
By right by throwing down money, and then we'll have it shipped over from China or whatever. Like, I think that's a much more reasonable
yeah.
use of crowdfunding at this point than
mm-hmm.
Like asking someone to just back, like, your design doc, basically.
I mean, that's also kind of like how, like, what is it even called? I'm just, like,
drawing a blank.
Yeah,
I need more. I can't.
I don't know. It's like. God, I
help me find the word you're looking for.
Like, just going to, like, people, like, investing, kind of like Shark
oh, sure.
Tank
mm-hmm.
levels of stuff. Like, I think
seed funding or right.
yeah, I think that's kind of what I was thinking about. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's all kind of shifted a little bit too. Like,
yeah,
people aren't as dumb.
Sure, because I'm right. Because you can do that. Like, you can attempt to convince people with money to buy a chunk of your thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, exchange for operating, you know, cash on hand, or you can go the old-fashioned route and just, like, say, like, hello, bank, here's my home, what can I get for it? which is, as much as I am a supporter of people following their heart, I would definitely not recommend, like,
yeah.
taking a second mortgage to make your video game
yeah.
dreams come true.
No.
Having a place to live is pretty sweet.
Yeah. I mean, especially, like we said, just it's so crowded.
Yeah.
There are, like, thousands of games coming out on Steam every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But
most of them aren't going to be the next Cuphead.
Oh, absolutely yeah. not. Most of them are mobile ports. But
most of them are garbage.
Mm-hmm. It's still cool. Like you just said, Kyle, if your expectations are in the right place,
mm-hmm.
it is very cool that so many of these tools and, like, platforms have become so democratized.
And I think, I honestly think our expectations have been in place, relatively speaking, since the beginning.
Well, I know that your livelihood isn't at risk. So
yeah.
That's
and they've
we've,
only,
yeah, we tempered it from the get-go.
Yeah, they've only gotten better over time.
Yeah. We know, we knew our abilities from the start.
All right, nobody quit their job.
No.
It's going to be okay.
And we, like, kind of we knew what we needed to do and how we needed to get ourselves there, as opposed to throwing all of these not even like appeared eggs in a basket and throwing them down the stairs.
I hope they don't break.
Yeah.
And again, the same thing is as Pokemon Go, we got to do other cool stuff around that.
Oh, yeah.
Like some of the incurred costs of...
I love those two trips. Just getting deeper into this was
right. Those two
San Francisco
trips,
we had
to California for GDC.
Even the New York Indiecade East ones were super fun.
Yeah, all of those are things that I would have gladly done just to do, and having the extra incentive to bother to go out and do them, like having a larger excuse to, like you said, show up in New York for a weekend or, go to GDC for like a couple days was very good.
That booth, that was probably our booth at GDC 2015 was definitely that was a lot. That was that was long, 3 days. We had great people around us. Those people were super awesome.
Yeah.
That we were in that little row with. That was exhausting. I definitely enjoyed the more let's just go to talks and see people.
That was a very fun,
I'm glad we did both.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to do the second one again
fun for different reasons, because like you said, I really did enjoy just sitting in on those.
Yeah, those talks were super cool.
Yeah, the talks and the, all that stuff, and just learning about cool shit from interesting people. But specifically that row we were in of hey, you can throw down, a little bit of change. You can be in the cool, scrappy developer lineup. Because everybody there was the exact same mentality of just we're all in the trenches, man.
Yeah.
Just give me 30 seconds of your time to side-eye this thing I made, and then you can be on your way. But yeah, that was very good. All of it. I wouldn't have traded any of those experiences for the world. It was all very fun and very interesting.
I would definitely like to go again.
Yeah. I am hopeful we'll go to GDC again someday. Well, I think it'll happen. It's just a matter of when, then if.
Yeah.
But we'll figure it out.
Definitely.
And on that note, I think we'll probably call it a show.
Sure.
We should be back in 2 weeks, I'm strongly hoping. Our regular schedule, as opposed to missing a bunch.
Let me just look at the calendar and see what is 2 weeks from this week. just out of curiosity.
That'll be a couple days before Maker Fair, if my mind is
right.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's the week before Maker Fair. Okay.
We'll talk about how GoFest went.
San Diego Comic-Con.
Right, yeah, exactly.
No.
That'll happen.
Sure, we'll talk about anything interesting that might pop up from there. Get your hot takes on the latest Bumblebee movie trailer.
Oh no.
Cinematic genius. Brilliant.
Yeah. And we'll check in on game stuff. And like I said, we'll oh man, I'll get to talk about all the pizza I'll have eaten in the past.
We really should have a pizza cast. We just talk about pizza.
I know, they've discussed it on the Bombcast, a different video game podcast that we listen to from time to time, but I would also be on board for someday just going to a pizza trade show. Doesn't that sound so
that
good?
That exists?
Yeah.
I'm on board. I will go.
This was a conversation that they had and then looked up, and it was just hey man, look, you want to show up in
pizza
Atlanta for a weekend
show,
or wherever the fuck it was?
Oh shit, I have to
travel. Yeah. There are pizza trade shows where you can just show up and there's people who have purpose to be there, they're buying industrial ovens or whatever. But also, if you happen to stroll in there, there are people handing out samples of pizza.
Oh my god.
International Pizza Expo, March 4th through 7th, Las Vegas Convention Center.
Ooh, I don't want to go to Vegas.
It's March.
I just don't want to go.
That bad in March.
I just don't want to go.
Maybe there's other options here, but...
Yeah, man. Pizza convention.
If we went, we would need film documentation.
Yes.
That's your in. Lorraine, you start a pizza channel on YouTube, and then that's we're press. We're here to cover this event.
No, we'd make a documentary of it, of our trip. Because that's that's such a weird, wild thing that you need to share that with people who don't already.
What'd you do this weekend?
Excited,
I went to PizzaCon.
How excited Kyle got from the mere notion of that.
I know, because it's such a good idea.
Why shouldn't we share that joy with the world?
You're right. If we ever go to PizzaCon, we'll definitely record it. That sounds all right. So until then, thank you, Lorraine. for
anticipation is building.
What pizza chain mascot would you cosplay as at
Little Caesar?
Annoyed.
Gotta keep it hometown. Like, Little Caesars isn't good, but Little Caesar himself is a good mascot.
Hot, and it's ready.
Yeah. That'll be a pickup line too.
Yep. Or just Vegas, be the man. It would be the toga with the words "It's hot and it's ready" and an arrow pointing down.
Your Little Caesars AU.
Yep.
I don't think that the cosplay phenomenon has spread to trade shows just yet, but maybe we'll be trendsetters.
Exactly. You got to start. Like, I'm sure they have booth babes at PizzaCon.
Sure.
Probably.
All about that.
Pizza Bikini.
World Pizza Championships. World Pizza Games are at the Pizza Expo.
Is that a competition to make pizzas or to eat pizzas?
Yes.
Make.
Okay.
Damn
freestyle
it.
Acrobatic dough tossing, fastest dough, largest dough stretch, fastest pizza box folding, and then pizza triathlon, which I'm not sure what that
all
means.
All of that makes me more rather than less likely to go to a pizza convention. So I'm on board.
Oh dear.
Anyway, yeah.
Hey, there's no information on what a pizza triathlon is. It was just a little bit of all of that.
I bet it could be like
sure,
some smattering.
Right. It's probably those various
three
disciplines.
Three of those tasks.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds okay. Yeah. Thank you, Lorraine, for hanging out, talking about stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Kyle, for joining us via the internet.
I'm going to go make a pizza.
Yep, that sounds great.
When the moon hits your eye.
I'll be sure to
like
let you know
pizza pie.
How good the pizza was
that's
in
amore.
Chicago, but I'm hoping very. So.
Please wolf down a slice in my honor, please.
I'll send you guys at least
one out.
Extremely pornographic pizza photo on Facebook.
Yes, please
no,
do.
This is how you add.
I'll
this is when
this.
You should add like Phil and Wade to your Snapchat and just send them like visceral pizza Snapchat.
But then I'd have to have sent one Snapchat, and I don't think I'm ready to commit
cool.
to that lifestyle. Like I'll take them every time you guys send me stuff. I look at it, but I don't think I'm too old, Lorraine. I'm too crusty and
that's
too
Quitter's
old.
Talk. Phil's the same age as you.
Does he have a Snapchat?
Yeah.
Does he snap?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe.
All right, we'll ask him next time we
I
see
think,
him.
I don't. Maybe you weren't standing there, but he and Wade were just like, "That's where the girls are. Girls are on
right.
Snapchat," and I'm like, "I can attest to that."
Yeah, but then
they
you have
know
to try.
The game they're playing.
You need to try really hard to think of the thing you're gonna snap, because it's either gonna be your penis, or you have to try really hard to think of the thing you're gonna snap. And I'm not like raunchy enough to do the first, and I'm definitely not creative or invested enough to do the second, so basically I have
my
no place
Snapchats
for Snapchat
are all
in my life.
Stupid. They're the dumbest shit, and I like it.
Mm-hmm. You're good at that, but again, like you're just younger enough than me to use
I
the visual medium
of
Snapchat
of
to your advantage. Yeah,
I was raised to not seek attention.
That's right.
So something like Snapchat is completely antithetical.
I speak when spoken to.
Uh-huh.
That's not true at all.
That is not true at all.
But I do not express myself.
You speak over when you're not
right.
spoken to.
I express myself verbally all the time. I
too
do not convey my feelings with images very often. Anyway, thanks again, guys, for hanging out. Thank you, internet, for listening to pizza and video games. And,
pizza cast.
That's right. Until next time, we'll see you later. I'm waving. There's no... I'm waving to nothing.
Bye.
Goodbye, Internet.
Bye, Internet.